warm welcome to the last episode of our Thursdays with David Foster Wallace series, where we every week have examined aspects of the infamous Infinite Jest and indeed finished the book Infinite Jest before the end of the year. Today's episode is short and pure fun, as we wanted to end the series on a lighthearted note, especially after the last month and a half or so of more serious content on our end, and I thought, what better way to end the series than to go outside the novel to the film that is tangentially related to the novel, but is really about distilling a picture of David Foster Wallace at the end of his book tour for Infinite Jest, hence the movie's title, The End of the Tour. To start off, this review is an overwhelmingly positive one, and I'm not going to be ultra critical about the film. No film is perfect, and we'll get to some aspects of it that could be problematic, but ultimately the film entertains and it does its job to tell a compelling story about its two main characters. The film begins at the end of fall 2008 when David Lipsky receives a call that David Foster Wallace has committed suicide. Lipsky finds and listens to the first of the tapes that he has from spending time with DFW for a Rolling Stones interview, and then the plot rewinds and runs linearly from there. One can tell from relatively early on in the film that this is going to be a feel-good movie. It's not a documentary, it's not a piece of history, really. It's a drama, and it is listed as a drama. There's a lot of focus on the more electric parts of what we have from Lipsky's account from his book about this time period, but the movie keeps your attention from start to finish, which I feel is a feat because nearly the entire movie is conversation between DFW and Lipsky. Having the plot of a film come second to the screenplay and acting, you know, more tangentially, is an interesting and unusual move, though it works for the purposes of this film as a character study because of the focus of the film's artistic elements is solely on the dialogue by way of the acting. My favorite aspect of the film was the constant bombardment of Wallace's nuggets of wisdom throughout. It's pretty amazing to me how many times I felt myself pausing and thinking, wait a minute, that was really smart or that was wildly intuitive. And from what I've learned about Wallace, that's pretty much how he was. Now, not everything Wallace says in the film, or rather Wallace's character says in the film, is a direct quote, and there's a piece by Lipsky linked in the show notes, relevanceofliterature.com/notes, that clarifies some questions that my colleagues and I had about the authenticity of the movie once we got to the end of it. Connecting the character study aspect of this film back to literature, there is this taboo in literature that bars people from saying things like, the author implies X, or this passage means that DFW thought Y, in their reviews, which I think is a terribly interesting phenomenon, especially considering Infinite Jest, because in the case of Infinite Jest, both the novel and the man have so much to offer to one's experience of the work, and I can't begin to imagine the myriad of ways that, for example, not knowing anything about DFW before reading Infinite Jest would have changed my experience in reading the novel. I also love the film's soundtrack. It's very eclectic and reminds me a bit of Easy Rider for any of you who are also film nerds. There's a lot of pop music and just random samples when they're driving, but there's also some softer vocal and instrumental pieces as well. Again, a major theme for this movie is unconventionalism that actually works, and I really dig it. And in the last bit of the episode today, again, it's a short one, I want to talk about the effect that watching this film had on my thoughts about Infinite Jest more generally, because of course our series, and largely the movie as well, revolves around Infinite Jest. A negative effect, or maybe now that I'm thinking about it, a net positive one, who knows, that I'm certainly experiencing is that the movie illuminated to me how inadequate any one description or summation or series regarding Infinite Jest really is. The film deals with infinite jest in terms of aspects that are completely valid but not commented on to a huge extent in our series. Aspects like entertainment, capital E, and being American and American ideals and lifestyle that I realize are so key to the benefits that one gets out of reading this book, but also have less to do with immediate issues like plot or character than what we have focused on and covered, for example, in this series. The other thing that I hadn't thought about enough is infinite jest as a process, meaning infinite jest in terms of DFW's writing process. Like parts of the book that are all him and parts of the book that are distant from his experience. Of course, analyzing these aspects are at points impossible because we don't have him to ask about it anymore. And also infinite jest as a process that evolves as you read and reread it, as you spend time with it and ponder it. And that's something about this novel that is truly immense. Thank you all from the bottom of my heart, especially all of you patrons out there, for supporting my work and for contributing to the discourse that we create on this channel. The last 9 months have been so vitally transformative for us and for the show, so thank you for tuning in and thank you for your support. If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to hear more from us, there is a show and a series for everyone, so I'd recommend checking out our website, relevanceofliterature.com, under the ongoing series tab for links to our entire back catalog of episodes. We also have a couple of open surveys that you can find through the links in the description, so if you have 3 minutes while you're waiting in line somewhere, we would very much appreciate your feedback on our show. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode, and we'll see you next time.